Yeah. Hey, thank you guys, man. Hope you enjoyed that. We're so privileged to be in a partnership with CMN, Church Multiplication Network, and they've just been, they're a part of the Assemblies of God, and they're so good about reaching out and talking about church planting, and they've embraced rural America, so we're very thankful for those guys. And so I just want to share with you a little bit today. Last week was this moment. You know, we've been talking about moments since the first of this year, moments that inspire us, moments that are life-changing moments for us. And so last Sunday, we celebrated Easter, which is the greatest moment ever, the moment that can change my life and your life. And when Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he came out victorious. And so I shared in the video how I had a moment in that ranch house. I really did. I had this moment just with a Bible in the back room back there. And you know, I grew up going to church. I grew up knowing about God. I kind of believed in God, you know, I knew who he was. I grew up doing all that stuff. But at this moment, at this time, when Jesus was revealed to me in that room, my life changed forever. It changed me that moment. Like I decided at that moment when I read the Bible, I'd been to church, and how many know church is a great place to go? Come on, somebody. We had gotten to church, and I told you we drove 53 miles, and maybe you drive a long way, but can I tell you, it's worth it for you to get up early on Sunday, and it's worth it for you to come to church. Church may not always be perfect, and church may not be the best, but something happens on a Sunday morning when we come and we gather in the name of the Lord. We went to church that morning. I got up. I walked to the front that day. I was nervous as a cat covering up. I went to the front and something happened that day, and I prayed, and I believe the Holy Spirit filled me up that day. I went home that night and I opened that Bible and I started reading that Bible. That was at the moment when I said, I'm going all in. Because every area in my life, I've never done anything halfway. I've never been that guy who had one foot here and one foot. I wanted to be committed to everything. And when Jesus became real to me, I said, I am going all in. I went all in that night. And you know what I did? I started reading my Bible. And just like I challenged y'all last Sunday, if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be stronger in your faith journey, if you want God to be glorified in your life, and you want to know God better, you have got to get into the Word of God. It is the God-breathed. It is inspired by God. It is infallible. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. I encouraged you to read the Word of God. Why did I do that? Because when I started reading the Word of God, everything changed for me. Because Jesus became real at that moment. When I started reading the Bible, how many of you read the Bible for encouragement sometimes? Sometimes we don't read the Bible, and the Bible is on the shelf, and dust has fallen all over your Bible. And the minute that you start going through hell or you start going through struggle, you go dust the dust off, and you open the Bible looking for some encouragement. Can I tell you, the Bible does bring encouragement, but you know what else happens? When you read the Bible, it'll bring some conviction in your life as well. You know what else the Word of God will do? The Word of God will challenge you. How many of you like a good challenge? Come on, somebody. We don't need no more soft, sissy people that want everything nice and cushy. And we need to be challenged. We need to be pushed like my poor Clara. Like I had these two knuckleheads, and I pushed these boys like you're supposed to push boys, and I don't know how to raise girls. And so now I push Clara the same way I push those boys. We need to be pushed. We need to be challenged, because we were made for more than just to say that we believe in some cosmic God. We were made for more than just to say, I'm going to work 40 or 50 hours a week. We were made for more than just to show up at church on Sunday morning. How many of you know God has great and mighty plans for every one of his children? And if we want to experience everything God has for us, we got to get up and go all in and quit playing the games. Because I played the games, man. I grew up in church, man. We went to church. I'm thankful that my family went to church, Wiley Baptist Church. We had a pew back there. I think my family bought that pew because that was the only pew we sat in, and nobody else better sat in that pew, or my nanny Jean would run them out of that pew. Come on, somebody. I knew the game. I played the game. I lived my life. I chose my selfish ways. I chose to fulfill the fleshly desires that I had. I chose to do what everybody else was doing. But then I'd show up on Sunday morning and play the game. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's time we stop playing the game. It's time that we go all in. I started reading the Word of God. Jesus became real to me. And here's the scripture that I read, one of the first scriptures. It's my favorite scripture. When I started preaching 24 years ago, I had some business cards made up. It said, Cody Cochran, full gospel evangelist, Mark 16:15. That was the scripture I chose to put on my cards. When we took the church down there, down the road, the old church, we had a new sign put up. Bethel Assembly, fun, friendly fellowship, Mark 16:15. It's been a verse that has challenged me and pushed me for 24 years. I want to read those verses to you today. Mark chapter 16. We'll start in verse number 14. You can open your Bible, flip in your phone. It'll be on the screen as well. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse number 14. Afterwards, after the resurrection, after Jesus had risen from the dead, after Jesus appeared, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the accompanying signs. Y'all pray with me. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, challenge us. Let the word be alive. Let the word be real and be relevant. Speak to every man, woman, and student in this place. Let us leave here challenged in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I think there are several takeaways that we can get from this scripture. I will list them to you to start with, and then we'll talk about them. First thing is this: Jesus appeared to them. He rose from the dead. It's not a mystery. He appeared to these people. And when he appeared to them in the upper room, he challenges them. He challenges them. He doesn't say, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh, things are going. He challenges them. He challenges their belief. He gives them some instructions in life. You're going to see that they respond with obedience. They never quit pushing. They never got complacent. They never got still. And because of their obedience, signs and wonders followed their sharing the good news, and many lives were changed. Much like those disciples, Jesus appeared to them. Can I tell you, Jesus appeared to me that night in the ranch house. He really did. He appeared to me. What does that word appear mean? It means to be present. Like, did Jesus show up in that back room physically? No. Like, was he there? Did he show me his hands? No. He was not there physically, but he showed up that night, and he appeared to me in every other way. He showed up to me spiritually. I had heard about this Jesus that was personal. I had heard about this Jesus that would meet you wherever you are. I had heard the Bible when it said, if you seek him, you will find him. And in that moment, spiritually, he became real to me. Emotionally, something shifted in my mind. Mentally, my perspective on life changed. My heart changed. I had a real encounter when Jesus appeared to me that night. Once he appeared to me, I believed him like I'd never believed before. Like faith was built, like I believed him, like I believed God. And I want to challenge you something today. I've been pastoring for 24 years, and I believe with all of my heart, the greatest thing that a pastor can teach his people, the greatest thing that a pastor can teach his people is just simply to believe God. To believe God, not to believe in God, but to believe God. Like once you get saved, some folk think once you get saved, everything ain't gonna be all right, and you ain't never gonna have no struggles, and you and your wife ain't never gonna disagree, and your kids are never gonna stray. Somehow we believe the lie that if we get saved, everything's gonna be okay. Can I tell you, once you get saved, buddy, that's when the real fight begins. and you're going to have some struggles, and you're going to have some issues. And you know what we got to learn to do? Say, by golly, I believe God. I believe God when he saved me. I believe God when he filled me with the Holy Spirit. I believe God when I was broke. I'm believing God through every situation, through every trial. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to doubt. Anybody can doubt. Anybody can whine and gripe. But it takes a real blood-bought child of God to say, you know what? I believe God in the middle of my struggles. I believe God. I believe his goodness. How many of you know God is good? Bad things happen in this world, but that doesn't mean that God is bad. God is always good. God has plans for us. Believe his grace. Believe his calling on your life. Believe that he that began a good work in you will perform that work until Jesus comes back. I want to encourage you, if you don't hear nothing else today, walk out of this place, square your shoulders, throw your head back, and say, it's not about me, but the victory belongs to my Savior, Jesus Christ, and he lives inside of me, and he brought me from a mighty long way, and I'm going to believe him. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to keep walking on and living this life out. Believe God. Believe God. Here's the deal. I believed God in that moment, but I want to tell you something. Once you make up your mind, once you have this encounter with Jesus, and once you say, I'm going to believe God, can I tell you, at that point, you got to put some action behind your faith. Oh, y'all got quiet on me, didn't you? Y'all got quiet on me, didn't you? Once you make up your mind, I have decided to follow Jesus. Once you make up your mind, he is real, and I believe his goodness. You can't just sit stagnant, and you can't just sit still. You got to say, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. There's no giving up. You have to put action behind what you say you believe. Why is that, Cody? Because James 2:26 says this, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart from works is dead. Let me give you an example. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. God made man, and Adam was just living there. He was not alive until God reached down and breathed the Spirit of God into Adam. And at that moment, Adam stood up and he was a living being. It was faith and action coming together. And many of us in the church, I'm convinced with all of my heart, we are missing the action part. Because we have believed the lie of the culture in the American church that all I have to do is believe. Yes, I understand you are saved by faith. I am not talking about your salvation. I am talking about living an abundant life that brings glory to God and spreads the fruit of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. If we want to live our best life and have some moments with God and be world changers, we got to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ to the point that we put action behind that thing. It takes both of them. Faith, but no action. That's not really living. That's not really life. Faith can move mountains. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. But let me tell you something. You make up your mind, you're going to believe Jesus, and you make up some mind, you're going to put some action behind your faith, and you're going to move some mountains. How many of you got some mountains need to be moved in your life? Let me see you say yes. You want to move, you better get you a shovel, you better get you a pickaxe, you better hire a bulldozer operator, and you might even need to get you some dynamite because it's going to require some effort on your heart part to blow that mountain out of the way. Dig a hole to the other side. These guys, they believe God. They put action behind their works, and then you know what they did? They listened to the instructions of Jesus. How many like instructions? Don't lie. Yeah. Just at least you're honest. 9 o'clock lied to me. They said, oh, yeah, we like instructions. How many of your wife has brought something home from Lowe's and you never, ever read one part of the instructions on that thing and put it together? And when you got to the end, after saying some dirty words, you think, man, I wish I would have just followed the instructions. Jesus has given us instructions. He gave it after he rose from the dead and after he appeared to these 11. He gave them instructions on what they need to do in order to keep their faith rolling and to keep their faith moving so they could live the life that God called them to live. He gave them instructions. And if you and I are going to live the best life, you got to start following instructions. What are the instructions that God gave us? Mark 16:15. Here they are. I'm reading this one from the Message. Mark 16:15. Then Jesus said, go into the world. go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Once you get saved, once I got saved, we had to start living out our faith. We'll start talking about our faith. We need to go public with our faith. I've heard it for all these years. Oh, yeah, me and God's good. We got our thing going. Me and God's good. We got our thing going. Like my relationship with God, it's just kind of private. Like I just keep it off over here. I'm a cowboy. You know, I get to ride my horse and see calves being born, watch the sun rising. All that stuff is good, but Jesus did not die a death so that we could be public and quiet and private about it. He saved us so that we could go and share the good news in our world and tell the people that we love and care about there is a better life out there. And if you want to go to the next level in your faith, can I preach to y'all? Like, I love church, man. I love church. You know I love church. But if you, and you need to keep coming to church. But if all you're doing is going to church on Sunday morning, that is all your faith life consists of, be prepared to flatline the rest of your life and never know the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. Once you leave this place is a place to come worship. This is a place to come be challenged and convicted. And once you leave this place, we are to go out into a dark and an ugly world and shine the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And when you start doing that, it will take your faith to another level. I would challenge you, how long has it been since you prayed for somebody? How long has it been since you shared your faith with someone? How long has it been since you sat down and shared a scripture with somebody that you know is going through a tough time right now? It can't just happen on the platform. It can't just happen at church. You go and you have natural connections, and God has placed people in your life so that you can share the good news of Jesus. It's a world changer. It's a game changer. For me, my faith journey started at the Sixes at Guthrie. I didn't know we were driving 53 miles to church. I didn't have a whole lot of Christian friends, but I made up my mind. I'm going all in, and I'm going to start talking about the Lord. We talk about the weather. We talk about horses. We talk about cows. We talk about the grass. I'm talking about the Lord. That's the most important thing in my life. And can you laugh at me all you want to? Silly as it sounds, the first thing I did is I had a pair of spurs, and I had three crosses put on the inside of those spurs. I didn't have enough courage to put them on the outside, to put them on the inside. But I was just hoping that somebody would say, what's those crosses? I didn't notice those, or they knew. Just give me an opportunity to say, well, you know what? Yeah, that represents my faith because Jesus has changed my life. That's all you got to say. You don't have to preach. Don't give me no excuses. I'm not a preacher. I don't know the scripture. No, but you know who Jesus is, and he changed your life. That's all you got to say. So then I started talking about the Lord. The two people I started talking to the Lord about right off that, Monty Holler and Boots O'Neill. Those were the two guys. Boots was about 80 at the time. Monty was about my age, probably about 40. And I worked with them every day. And I would just say stuff to them. Man, God's been good. Man, church was good yesterday. Man, I'm just thankful for this. I'm praying for so-and-so. And next thing you know, these cowboys would say to me, what was the sermon about over at church yesterday? Or somebody in their life would be sick, or they'd be having trouble with it, and they'd say, hey, would you pray for us? And it just started building my faith and growing inside of me. There is nothing else that will grow your life, listen to me, like obedience. Just being obedient. Just being obedient. Go share the good news. Obedient. Jesus changed my life, but obedience to Jesus took me to the next level. I came out of the closet, y'all. And you know what you need to do? You need to come out of the closet. You need to come out with your faith and live your faith loud and proud. And publicly, I tasted and I saw that God was good. I tasted and saw that God was good. Psalm 34:8 says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Once I had an encounter with, a moment with Jesus, once I went all in and started to believe him, then I read the word of God and I started sharing my faith, living it out. Once all that happened, I had tasted and seen, and I never wanted to stop and slow down and go back ever again. I wanted to keep pushing forward. I wanted to keep growing. I wanted to put it in D for drive, baby. Some of y'all need to kick it out of neutral. Come on, somebody.
Let me get to you. You need to kick it out of neutral. Some of you, you got it in park, Jack. You got saved 14 years ago, throwed that son of a buck in park, and you've been sitting there saying, I believe God for the past 15 years, and you ain't never done nothing for the kingdom of God and brought glory to God. It's time. You wonder why you got no joy, and you critique every sermon, and the music is too loud, and God is against you. Can I tell you, jerk that thing. Put the brake on. Jerk that thing down and drive. Let's get to going, and when you start moving, you will see God move, and you'll see a joy like you've never had in your life. And for those of y'all that drive old trucks, push the clutch in, kick it in granny, and pop the clutch, glory to God. We got to get to going. We got to quit setting still. We have to push. We have to put it in D for drive. We were at Guthrie. The Lord moved. We were going to church. I started talking about it, and then we moved to Anson. We moved down here, and, man, we got this church down there, and there were 13 people down there, and man, we wanted to grow. We wanted to push, and I didn't know how to preach, and I didn't know how to lead church, and I didn't know what to do. So listen to me. Don't tell me that you don't know what to do. Do you know what? Do something even if it's wrong. Come on, somebody. And if you want to learn to do something, you can learn in this day and age. We live in the information age and in the wisdom age. If you want to learn how, start putting yourself around people that are smarter than you, people that are older than you, people that have been where you've never been and done what you've never done. And we were pushing for growth. And let me know when you push for growth, it gets hard sometimes. We're pushing for growth, and we saw change, and we saw God moving, and the church started growing. And next thing you know, we decide, you know what? Let's plant a church over in Sweetwater. You know what? Something we believed what God was doing was very special here, and we wanted people in Sweetwater to have that thing. Man, it would have been easy to keep it in park. Pastor Carter Edmondson was here. I've known him my whole life. His mom and dad were friends with my mom and dad. Carter's dad's name is Johnny Kirk Edmondson. My name is Cody Kirk Cochran. I was named after Carter's dad. And the Lord, Carter rodeoed, and I took the ranch life. And years later, God brought Carter and I together right here. We had a great team. We had a great camaraderie. Jennifer was best friends with Carter's wife. My kids were best friends with Carter's kids. It was hard to let him go to Sweetwater. I'm telling you, we sat up in my office over there and cried like two 12-year-old girls when we knew Carter was leaving. But we pushed, and church grew. And they had over almost 500 people at Easter last week. I'm just telling you. And then a couple of years later, you know, Luke comes on board, and Luke's my new associate, and we're connected, and we love each other. And the Lord says, go to Albany, and Albany came open, and we lost him. We went over there. You know what? He had over 400 last week on Easter as well. And then Riley came along, and Riley stayed here, and it would have been easy to keep Riley and say, oh, we planted there and planted there, but no, Stanford came open, and we said, pull her down in D. Let's go. Let's keep pushing. And Riley had about 300 last week. Can I tell you, on Easter, we had over 2,400 people in attendance at Bethel Assembly in West Texas. And I'm not saying that to you to brag, but I'm saying that to you because it was a prophetic word that came to pass. Because 24 years ago in Guthrie, God said, Cody, if you'll put it in D and if you'll push forward, I'm going to use you in a mighty way in rural America. And after 24 years of gritting it out, grinding it out, believing God and drawing closer to God, 2,400 people gathered to worship God in rural West Texas last week. And if God can do that with an old donkey like me, if God can do that with somebody like me, what can he do with your life? And what can he do in your family? And what can he do in the lives of your children if you'll just simply be obedient to what God has called us to do? Obedience changed my life. Man, we keep pushing. Here we are. We're going to Guthrie doing church. Then the building over there fell apart. Oh my gosh, we had to go to the auxiliary building. We had to go three services over. Three services? Who cares? Let's do three services. And through all of that, we kept pushing. We kept driving. Look at this facility that we have right now. Come on, somebody. Because we kept pushing and we kept driving and we kept believing God. And you know what our attitude is now? Can I tell you what the attitude is of your pastor and the attitude of the leadership over here at the Bethel Assembly? Here's what we're saying. What's next, Lord? We ain't coasting. We ain't playing a game. What's next? Which one of these walls are we fixing to knock out and expand 3 months into a brand new building? Because we need more seats for people to come and worship God. Where is the next town that you want us to plant a church? Who is the next young man that we're going to have to release him and his family to go pastor churches? Hey, let me tell you, we're not at the end. God is still moving and still working, and we're going to keep pushing and reaching for everything God has got. Let's keep pushing. Let's keep driving. Because here's the deal. If we ever quit pushing, anybody know what I'm talking about? If we ever quit driving, we just sit. You know what happens then? We get still. We get stagnant. We get stagnant. I used this illustration years ago. In the summer on a ranch, you pick up bulls. Because you only want your bulls out in a certain season breeding the cows. And well, all the calves are the same size. In the summer, the old bulls have already done all their breeding. They've already had all their fun, and they're down in the bottom of an old creek somewhere, hiding under a cedar tree, bellowing, trying to stay cool in the 100-degree West Texas heat. And you got to go pick up bulls. You ride bull. You ride your horse. You gather the bulls. You get them off the cows. And when you're gathering bulls, it's a slow process. When you're gathering bulls, it's hot, and the sun is shining. It takes all day long. And there's days when you just get parched. You just get thirsty. You think, man, I got to have a drink of water. And you look across the pasture over there, and you see some willow trees. And if you know anything about living in the country, willow trees only grow around water. So you, man, there's a tank over there. And you start riding over to that tank, and you ride up on the tank dam, and you're anticipating a cool drink of water for you and your horse. And when you get there, there is a green, funky film that's all over the top of the water in that tank because it's set stagnant. Because it's summer and it hasn't rained. No fresh water has come in. No dirty water has washed out. You're not going to drink out of that tank, nor is your horse going to drink out of that tank. But if you look and you see some cottonwood trees, you know that cottonwood trees grow along the river or along the creek. And so you start riding your horse over to the creek. And all of a sudden, when you get to the creek, the water is moving and flowing and running, and it is crystal clear. Your horse will get a drink. You'll get down on your belly and get you a drink. And I'm telling you, that is a lot like our spiritual journey. You may believe in Jesus, and you may have had a moment with Jesus. But if you get still, you're going to get stagnant. And I'm convinced there's a lot of people in the churches in America today that believe God, but they're not being obedient, and they've become stagnant and stinky, and you got a green, funky film over your faith, and nobody is getting any living water from you. It's time that we start moving. It's time that we do something. It's time we start sharing our faith. And the moment you start moving, God will crystal clear your water, and people will come up, and their lives will be changed because you chose to be obedient and to be a Christian full of action. It's a game changer. Conrad. Darren, worship team, y'all come help me close. Because when we do these things, I'm convinced, when we do these things, we have a moment with Jesus. We start reading scripture, apply some action, and start being obedient. I believe you'll see God move. And here's what we've seen. We've seen many lives changed over 24 years. We've seen many marriages reconciled, restoration brought. We've seen healing. We've seen the Spirit move. I close with this question. I just shared my story with you of the past 25 years and about what I've done and what the Lord's called me to do. The main question I got to ask you today is this. What about you? What are you doing? What are you doing to get it out of drive? Has Christ been revealed to you? Have you had a moment with Jesus? A life-changing, resurrected Savior who came and while you were yet a sinner, gave his life to shed the blood so that sinners like you and I could be born again and redeemed. We could be adopted into the family of God. We could have the hope of eternal life and that God would go before us and prepare a way. If God has done that for you and me, then why in the world would we sit still and play some sort of game? Why wouldn't we go all in? Why wouldn't we give it everything we've got? Let me ask you, have you gone all in? Have you gone all in? Do you need to up your commitment? Do you need to maybe recommit today? Maybe you need to look for somebody to pray for this week. Just a simple prayer. Don't get all spiritual on them. Come on, somebody. Don't get your oil out and start looking for somebody to lay hands on all the time. Just your friends, man. Just start with one or two people. Boots O'Neill, Monty Holler.
Who are your friends? Start praying with them. Start talking about the Lord. Hey, I read the scriptures. It's easy. We've made it much more complicated and much harder than it really is. If you do that, you take a step. God will begin to activate something. You know what J.B. Weld is? There's two tubes. You know what I'm talking about? It's like this concrete stuff, this glue stuff, and you have to put both of them together. And when you put them together, that's when it starts to activate and do what it's supposed to do. Faith is one tube. Action is another. Squirt them two together. Woo, baby, you better look out. It is what it is. Be obedient. Let me give it to you in simple terms. Can I give it to you in simple terms? The ball is in your court. Be obedient and go balls to the wall and watch God move. It's just the way it is. Because let me tell you something, and I'm done, I promise. Maybe. You were made for more than working 40-hour week and going to church on Sunday. You were made for more. You were made for more than just to say you believe. I wasn't made, you weren't made to be tending a grave. See, think about this. Them women went to the grave on Easter morning, take some anointing oil. You know, if it were nowadays, we'd be taking flowers, you know, to tend to the grave. You know what I mean? Mow around the headstone, do all that thing. Listen, we weren't made to be tending a grave. Those women went to the grave and they met Jesus. And because what Jesus said to them, they said, this is not about the grave. I am leaving here and I'm going to go share the good news. You were made for more than running a lawnmower, than running a weed whacker. You were made for more than bowing down at an empty tomb. Jesus has risen and he lives inside of you and he's gone before you and prepared a way. You are a world changer. You are a father. You are a mother. You're a son and a daughter of God. Get up, get out. Out of this place and go put action behind your faith. You were made for more. You were made for more. We were called by name. Call by name, Ben. Call by name, Terry. Called by name, Josh. You were called by name. Byers, you were called by name, Chad the dad. You're not an accident. It's not a problem. You were called by the name of God to rise up and do everything God has asked you to do. You were born and raised back to life again. You were made for more. Stand on your feet. We're going to close with a worship song. I'll pray and then we'll be done. Holy Spirit, thank you for everyone in this room. Thank you that you are alive and well and that you appear to us. I pray today for some people you would appear to us in this very room right now, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, that you would appear and we would be motivated. For those of us who have had an encounter with you in the past, bring us back to center. Set us back on fire. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and let us leave here with a mandate. Let us leave here challenged. Let us leave here and be all that you have called us to be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, let's worship the Lord.